Chapter 4. The Prenup. How do you do it? Business partnerships count among the most important relationships in our lives. Don't rush into them. Like romantic relationships, you also need to avoid micromanaging them. Here's an example of a romantic partnership agreement gone wild. Melanie and Marvin are, or were, a genuine Florida couple, though I've changed their names. They had both seen a lot of life already, so even though they felt deeply in love and that marriage was just right for them, they thought that a fairly detailed prenuptial agreement would help keep things straight, would help avoid misunderstandings, and could cement their relationship. But here's an extract from Clause 7. Melanie is to pay the monthly electric, phone, and cable bills in full. Marvin is to pay Melanie $35 per week for groceries. Melanie will purchase the remaining groceries each week. Martin agrees to not complain or otherwise make a fuss about how much Melanie spends on any of the above-mentioned items. In addition, Marvin does not get to complain about how cold Melanie keeps the air conditioning temperature. Melanie will be mindful of Marvin's comfort level, with both parties keeping in mind that it is more socially acceptable to put on a sweater to warm up than to take off clothes to cool down. Also, Marvin agrees not to complain or otherwise make a fuss about long-distance phone charges. 3 months later, they split up. What a surprise. Whether it was ventilation or groceries that forced the issue, I don't know. But a short time later, they reunited. No doubt they may have missed the benefits from Clause 10, where Melanie will cook breakfast a minimum of 3 times during the weekdays and 1 time per weekend. In return, Marvin will not wake Melanie up on her off days. Melanie gets to designate her off days as long as she complies with a specified number of days she has agreed to. And get this, in Clause 11, Melanie gets her back rubbed 4 times a week for a minimum of 5 minutes each time, but hopefully more. It must have seemed like they'd thought of everything in their comprehensive partnership agreement. That is, until Melanie discovered 4 years later that her husband had secretly divorced her 2 years previously. Don't ask. I have no idea how he managed this. Anyway, it turned out there was no mention of divorce in the prenup, so she sued him for fraud. No more cooked breakfasts or back rubs for Marvin. So what can business owners learn from this cockamamie scenario with Melanie and Marvin? First, get your priorities straight. You want your partnership to have a foundation of trust. Not just a what's in it for me, what's in it for you mentality, like trading cooking for back rubs. Second, your partnership agreement should provide the framework and procedures for decision making, not micromanage every sniggling detail of your business. And finally, the agreement should at all costs cover the exit strategy, the breakup after the breakdown. In preparing your entrepreneur's prenup, it's right to start out assuming that both or all of you want this thing to work. That means you agree to be open and honest in discussing the components, and that you'll work toward a compromise where you disagree. Setting the stage for fruitful discussions is an important aspect of this. Your entrepreneur's prenup will result from multiple discussions with your potential partners. Ideally, you should discuss and agree to the terms before you launch your venture and form a business entity. You'll want to organize and structure your discussions because there's a lot to cover. A single casual chat over filet mignon at the country club won't do it, even though such a pleasant event might seal the deal. Your meetings will serve two purposes. You'll explore all the major issues raised by the questions and comments in this book and the case studies that we'll introduce in the audio portion. This will establish a clear understanding of each other and the goals of the business. That's my first E rule of partnership talks. E for envisioning the future shape of your business. Also, through these meetings, you'll establish the basic principles that form the core of your written partnership agreement. Here's my recommendation for the process. As I've previously suggested, begin by running through this book by yourself. Apply the questions to yourself and work through some of the to-do points that I give, and you'll see a lot of those in the workbook. Give a copy of this book to your intended partners and invite them to do the same thing for themselves so that they're well prepared for the issues you're going to cover. Get together for coffee to determine how you'll proceed through the issues raised in this book. You'll begin to see if you and your intended are on the same wavelength. It may save you time if you find out you're not. Find and agree on a location away from your normal working environments where you'll have seclusion and privacy. This is my second E rule. Select the environment that's most likely to be conducive to free and open discussions. You'll also want to agree on what I call the disturbance ground rules. That is, cell phones off. What's the definition of emergencies? Interruptions for emergency onlys, for example, through third parties, like if your secretary calls or there's an urgent family matter. Deciding when you'll take breaks to call into your office or check your BlackBerry. Devise a format for your discussions that allows sufficient time to discuss each issue, but not for any item to run too long. You'll want to prepare a timed agenda based on this. Adopt the right attitude. By that, I mean leave your ego, that's the third E, at the door. Don't try to dominate the meeting or impose your ideas. Unless you're genuinely prepared to treat your partner's concerns as equal in importance to your own, don't expect to forge a real or lasting partnership. Take notes. Don't try to capture everything. It can distract you from your purpose. But you may want to consider taping or making an audio recording or employing an assistant. Better yet, look into using a facilitator who could be considered objective and independent. At the end of your meetings, run through the headline areas of agreement and disagreement. Make arrangements to resolve any outstanding questions. And like shampoo, lather, rinse, repeat. Repeat the process until you've covered all of the issues. Don't expect to go through it all in one sitting. It'll make your head spin if you do. Consider if this process has changed your ideas step by step about the suitability of your prospective partner. Don't raise the issue now. Allow yourself some time to think it over, and then prepare to take decisive action. Now is the best time to back out. Or at least to seek further discussion and clarification before you've already formed a business entity and signed an agreement. Once you have reached agreement on the issues, produce and share a rough draft of what you believe you've agreed. Then go to a legal professional in your area who specializes in working with business partnerships. He or she may raise further questions before preparing a formal draft of the agreement. This leads to choosing the right advisors. If you've reached the point where you want to work with a business partner to expand your company, you've already recognized a fundamental truth about business growth. You can't do it alone. Your business growth depends on the extent to which you can create a team of experts to coach and guide you through the issues you don't know. A well-chosen business partner will become a vital member of your team. So will relationships with a business attorney, accountant, banker, insurance professional, financial advisor, and strategic business consultant or coach. The reason for recommending you use a professional with relevant experience isn't self-interest. You may be thousands of miles from me, and there's no way that I could represent you. It's in your interest. Consider my client, Caleb, who started a clothing design company with his childhood friend Peter from the Czech Republic. Caleb realized the value of having a partnership agreement and went to an attorney he knew to get it drafted. Trouble was, the attorney was an immigration lawyer with no meaningful experience of partnership agreements. The agreement stated that Caleb would fund the company and Peter would contribute creative ideas and marketing know-how. Problem was, the agreement had no limits on how much Caleb was required to contribute financially or how much Peter could spend. Soon, Peter was outspending what Caleb felt the business could afford. This was before Caleb became my client, and too late to avoid the litigation that followed. This demonstrates the risk of using an unskilled attorney to prepare a partnership agreement. Neither owner's obligations were clearly defined, nor was there a viable exit strategy. Situations that could have been avoided had Caleb used a knowledgeable business attorney at the outset. To help you choose the right attorney, have a look at the articles on my greatbusinesslawtips.com site. Or, for more depth information, including an interview sheet, you can purchase my MP3 workbook download called How to Choose and Use Attorneys, available at greatbusinesslawresources.com. As you'll discover, I recommend that you work up a list of candidates. You can get attorney recommendations from friends, colleagues, or other lawyers. The local bar association may also have referral services or committees that focus on your area. The main thing is, if you're serious about starting or growing your own business, don't rely on your spouse's attorney or your brother-in-law if the only reason to choose them is that you already know them or they'll do your work for free. Do your homework to find someone who's truly the best fit for you. Perhaps if Melanie and Marvin had done this, they wouldn't have ended up as they did, in a total mess. To summarize, a good partnership is built on trust, but makes full provision for a comfortable exit strategy. You should follow a thorough and structured process for agreeing on the points for your prenup. To avoid serious mishaps, use an attorney with experience in business law who specializes in producing partnership agreements. Your action steps? Consider how you'll handle the situation if your partnership discussions suggest you've made the wrong choice. Again, read the free articles at greatbusinesslawtips.com or download the MP3 and workbook from greatbusinesslawresources.com so that you can find and screen the right business attorney to help you put that partnership agreement together. And finally, go through the items in this book and the companion workbook. That will help you identify the issues so that you have a stronger understanding of how you're going to screen your business partner, what you're looking for in one, and what you want to include in your partnership agreement. That's Chapter 4.